In Acts chapter 13, the verses that Brother Francis read, I want to read to you in the ASV, it says in 13 verse 2 and 3, "And as they were ministering to the Lord and fasted, they, the church, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away." Here you have a church and they're commissioning a foreign mission, and Paul and Barnabas are going out and they are going to be turning the world upside down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the whole church is involved in this program. And the reason why I wanted that those two verses read is because a lot of times people don't see where they fit in foreign missions. And I don't want to leave this series of lessons on Ghana unless if you could say, "Ghana, where do I fit in?" Because if you don't see where you fit in, every single person, from the youngest to the oldest, they have a part in foreign missions, and you need to see where you can fit in. You don't have to necessarily go over to Ghana to be involved in foreign missions. Some of you have gone over, some of you will go over. But you need to see yourself as part of the mission team for Ghana. And if you could see yourself as part of that mission team, you could also see yourself as part of a mission team here. Here's three ways that you can be involved. Three ways that I see. Three primary ways. Number one, your prayers. Your prayers. In Ephesians 6, verse 19, Paul encourages prayers from the Ephesians that he will continue to speak boldly on behalf of the gospel. He's saying, "You pray for me. I need those prayers," he's saying. "I'm out here on the mission field. You pray for me." And he asked the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25, he says, "Brethren, pray for us." Who's the us? The us are those who aren't there. They are representing the church in a different area. He asked them that the word of the Lord be spread rapidly to the people in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. So he's asking the churches to pray for him. And if you don't see yourself as having a part in prayer for the missions around the world, then you really have missed a great point that's in the Bible. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11, "You also joining in helping us through your prayers." You may not realize the power of prayer. You may be saying, "What can I do? I want to be part of the mission team." Do you know? You could be in a wheelchair and you cannot move from the neck down. And your prayers are so powerful you could offer them to God. And it's more powerful than anything anyone could ever do on the mission field is your prayers. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. You're a Christian, and you offer your prayers unto God, you are changing the mission field big time. In Philippians 1, verse 19, Paul is convinced that he will be delivered from a Roman prison through the prayers of the Philippians, hundreds of miles away. It would take weeks to get back there, and he's under house arrest, and he tells the Philippians, "I know I'm going to remain and continue with you all." And how does he know that? Because they're praying for him. That's a great confidence Paul has. I think Paul believes in the power of prayer. What do you say? In 1 verse 9 of the same book in Philippians, Paul also says he's praying for them. Wow, are you talking that you can pray for them and they can pray for you? Yeah, that's how you hook up. Before there was email, and you got mail, before all that, there were prayers. And that's emails to God. And you know, that never changes. You can send those to God day in and day out. And if you're not praying for foreign missions, if you're not praying for Ghana, you're missing the most powerful thing you can do. In Philemon 1, verse 22, Paul trusts that Philemon's prayers will deliver him safely to him. Colossians 4, verse 2 and 3, Paul calls for the Colossians to pray to God to open up a door for the spreading of the word. He admits that he was praying for them in 1 verse 9 of the same letter. They were doing a bunch of praying for each other for the work of the church in the first century. I think you can conclude that without having to give you any more verses concerning the topic. Without a doubt, the Bible teaches we're to pray for the work around the world, not just what's happening in our own congregation. You can play a great part in the work of Ghana simply by praying for it. Well, what kind of issues, though, should you pray for concerning Ghana? Well, you need to pray for the health of the Christians, that they live long and prosper, spiritually, emotionally, and physically. I don't know if you saw the new bulletin board in the back. We've redone it all. All brand new pictures. Go back and look at those pictures. You will see all kinds of different people. But one of them, on Daniel Che's board, you'll see a picture of one of their leaders who was 40 years old who died. And you want to know how he died? He died of tuberculosis. They were treating him for malaria, and the tuberculosis got him. And I'll cover more on that in a little bit, but they don't live as long there as we do here. It's hard on people in Africa, and you need to be praying that their leaders in the church and all of them, that their health be good. Because imagine if we took the average life expectancy and just applied it across the board here, maybe 54, 55, that'd wipe out a bunch of us here, wouldn't it? That gives middle age a different name, doesn't it? 25, middle age? Doesn't sound right, does it? We need to be praying for them, that the health in every way is good. We need to pray for the health of the congregations, that they hold to the teachings of the Bible, and that they're committed to the spreading of God's word. A lot of the congregations over there, you have certain groups that are coming from America, and they're trying to teach them things that just simply aren't scriptural. You have denominationalism that's trying to creep in. You have simple, God-fearing, gospel-believing, Bible-following churches who are being subjected to denominationalism and feeling the pressures of that, and you need to be praying that these congregations stay sound to the word. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we will be judged by those words in the Bible. We need to pray for the health of the nation, that this God-fearing people and government stay strong in their love for the Bible and the Lord. In one of those sections on the left side of the primary board, you'll see a lot of different road signs there, names of businesses. And just if you look at some of those names of the business, like Amen Auto Alignment, or Praise the Lord Hair Salon, or, you know, they have godly names in it. They fear God in that nation. I mean, just the majority of the businesses in Kumasi have Bible names right in it. Jehovah Real Estate. I mean, what are they trying to say? They're trying to say we love God, we respect God, we're for the teachings of the Bible, we promote the Bible. You know, where they are right now is where we were 100 years ago. If you tried to take the Bible out of public school in Ghana, they would think you were one brick short of a full hut. Okay? They would say, what are you talking about? You can't take the Bible out of the school. They're excited about the Bible. You could be walking anywhere and open a Bible up and be in a Bible study in 10 minutes there and have 20 people joining you in a Bible study. They're a religious nation, and we need to be praying that that nation stays religious, because Paul says, I will therefore that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all that be in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. This is good and acceptable before God, our Savior, who willed that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Are you praying for the government of Ghana? You need to be saying, Lord, please keep this nation godly so that they can be a gateway to all of West Africa. And you need to be praying for the health of the lost of Ghana, that they receive the message of Jesus with great repentance and joy. Because the saddest thing in the world that could ever happen is for someone to die before digesting the gospel of Jesus Christ, our only hope. So pray for the health of the Christians, the congregations, the nation, and the lost of Ghana. If you do those things, I think you'll be very happy to be part of the mission team in that way. But there's another way. Not only your prayers, but your abilities. Your abilities. We're told in Colossians 4, verse 14, that Luke was a physician. And it's not surprising to find him ministering to the aged Paul. He was there with Paul when he died. Luke, who had a tendency to pay much attention to detail, being a doctor, he used that detail later on to write Luke and the book of Acts and probably the book of Hebrews, the three greatest, most detailed accounts we have in all the New Testament. And that was by the hand of Luke. A Gentile, mind you, who happened to be a man who paid attention to detail. He was using his ability on the mission field. He was being part of the mission team. In Acts 4, verse 36, it says that Paul, or Barnabas, had a gift of encouragement. And this is something we find him using on the mission field. Acts 11, verse 23, then when they had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to stay true to God. He was using his ability on the mission field. God blessed him with a passion of encouragement. And everywhere you see Barnabas going, they're going, "Ooh, Barnabas, son of encouragement." Because he was using his ability right there on the mission field. We're told in Acts 18, verse 24 and 25, that Apollos was a great teacher of the word, being mighty in the scriptures, it says. And this is the same Apollos we find being sent to Corinth to debate the vicious Jews over the scriptures, and he led many to Christ. He used his ability to know scriptures, to know how to teach and debate, to win these Jews to Jesus Christ. He was using his ability on the mission field. And without a doubt, we find people of the Bible over and over again using what God gave them, what's in their possession, to go out on the mission field and spread that gospel. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, they needed a little help. Paul was persecuting them, Saul. And what'd they do? They scattered about preaching the word. Wherever they go, there's their abilities. And you have abilities that can be used in the work at Ghana. There are many here that are good with bulletin boards and writing emails that can make a difference here for those who follow the work in Ghana. That bulletin board, I was one of three who worked on that bulletin board. Napoleon, who's from Ghana, he wanted to help, so he helped. And not only that, Drew, she is the primary bulletin board lady from Ghana. Thank you, Drew, for helping us. She's going to continue to help. There's room for you to do things like that, to send emails back and forth to Ghana, to these missionaries. There are some that have extra room in their homes for visiting Ghanaians when they come to our country. You've helped Dan and Napoleon Che big time. There are countless numbers of you who have helped this brother. You know, Ghana missions could start right here. You know that? And not only that, we're going to try to use Napoleon to reach out to the Ghanaian community here. Isn't that neat? How God works out all things to the good of those who love him. You don't know. Maybe there'll be a Ghanaian church like there is in Harlem here someday. But it starts with people praying and, second of all, using their abilities. There are those who can help in designing a website for the work in Ghana and other internet-related issues. Some of you youngins up front who like tapping on the computer, you could use your skills to help design a website for maybe that new school in the Western region. Would you like that? Wow. You mean you could play a part in the work in Ghana and not even leave your room? In between video games, you could just load in and program a website? Yeah, you can do that. There's a lot of you who have great computer skills. Well, there's a lot of things that need to be designed. There are some people who possess a great ability to encourage others in the work. Oftentimes, they are the difference between failing and succeeding in that mission work. One person can be the octane to get a work going. That could be you. Not only that, there are some people that are really great at organizing and raising funds for the work in Ghana. You know who you are. You have the ability to change the lives of many. And you don't even have to leave here. You might go over there. Because there are those with medical training, teacher training, agricultural training, construction training, Bible training, that can go to Ghana and labor in the kingdom there. What do you do now for a living? You can make a difference for them. Do you teach? I know we're talking about Stephanie going over. We're going to get her inoculated against all diseases. And we're going to have her go over and maybe teach in that Western school. I know Diane Marie, she was talking about going over. She's trained in medical. Who are you? What do you do here? You can maybe go over there and help them do the same thing. Bob went over and did agricultural things for many years. Beth, who was there for many years, she was an LPN. And guess what? She ended up going over to Ghana. And things she did and teaching not only saved lives in this life, but in the life to come. You have many great things you can do. And you have to ask yourself, what can I do? Can you teach? Maybe I'll try to get you over there. Can you encourage? Can you do medical work? What is it that you do here that can maybe be used over there? Consider that before you write it off. We have to be willing to use our abilities and the efforts toward Ghana if we're ever going to be effective. So, number one, your prayers. Number two, your abilities. And number three, your money. That's the third thing. In Luke 19, verse 8, Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, "Behold, half of all my goods I give to the poor." That's a pretty good donation, isn't it? Well, he had gotten a lot of money, but he didn't say 10%. He didn't say, "Well, you know, I'm going to give a little tiny love." No, half. That was starters. God had blessed him, and he could be a blessing back for the kingdom. In James chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, and we're covering this passage tonight in the book of James. So if you like the book of James, come back tonight. We're continuing our study. In James 2, 15 and 16, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, "Be you warmed and filled," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? We're going to cover the fact that God expects us to be giving to the other Christians. He absolutely does. Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is also unjust in the most." We're to be of a giving spirit. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 3 and 4. Listen to what Paul says. "For I testify," this is the Philippians, "for I testify that according to their ability," and I love this part he says, "and beyond their ability they gave of their own accord." And he goes on to say, "begging us with much entreaty for the favor of the participation of the support in the saints." They gave all they could, and they gave beyond their ability. Now they're giving on God's ability. The Philippians were the poorest church in all the land that we know of. And yet they were the first one that gave to Paul when he was on the mission field in Europe. Paul says, "You gave a gift more than once for my needs." For even in Thessalonica, I was there, you were the first one to help me. He says, "No church share with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone." That was the poorest of the church. That was a retirement community for soldiers, and they weren't paid well back then. And yet, the church there gave. I would have hated to think what happened if the church in Philippi says, "Well, you know, we're going to give our ability, but we're not going to give beyond our ability." What would have that done? God used this poor group of Christians to fund the work throughout Europe. And later on, guess what? As Paul worked down the coast and went to Corinth, 16 verse 2 of 1 Corinthians, we see them taking a collection to go back. And it was a big thing for the Gentile Christians to give. A very big thing. A huge thing. Because as you'll see tonight, in the Gentile world, it wasn't a giving society. It really wasn't. Your money is a great way to be part of the work in Ghana. It's a great way to participate. Let me tell you some of the things that you can do right from here. $6 will buy you a tree Bible, a Bible in their native tongue, and $4 will buy a songbook. For $10, you can provide a Christian a Bible and a songbook. What a great gift. What do you spend when you go to a movie? Let me ask you that. You could go to a movie or move in the life of another Christian overseas. For $100, you can provide 10 Christians Bibles and songbooks. What an incredible difference that would make. While I was over there, there were some of you who had given money for that very specific purpose. And when I was over there, there were some young Christians. They were baptized into Christ. And you know what? They were all sharing a Bible, and we provided 8 Bibles for them. Isn't that something? We got Bibles sitting around, blowing dust off it. Unread Bibles, and yet there were Christians who had to share a Bible to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and to be baptized into the Lord. And there were some of you who were part of that. And now when they open their Bibles up and they read it, you're there. They're probably going to be a stronger Christian because you care. Your money makes a big difference. Also, $25 will pay for all the meals for a preacher student in college for 1 month. 1 month, $25. How much do you pay to take you and your wife to the movie? What do you spend on coffee in a month? What do you spend on things that you might not really need? For that same $25, a preacher student could eat twice a day. And that preacher may go on to lead thousands to Christ, and you were part of that. $50 will buy a family of 5 a change of clothes. New clothes for 5 people in a family. Some people only have a couple changes of clothes. Some people have 1 change of clothes. And for $50, you could change the life of 5 individuals that they have new clothes. Not only that, $75. This is a challenge I want to give to you. $75. Less than the price of most of your prescriptions. $75 will provide a preacher and his entire family medical coverage for a year. A year. They have a national health plan. But you have to buy it. And you know that man who died, that leader in the church, you want to know what helped lead to his death? Was the fact he didn't have any sort of health insurance, and so he made a decision between, you remember, the average income is maybe $100 a month. So that's a big thing to kick that out, especially when 70-80% of what you're spending is toward food. So you got to decide, well, are the kid's going to eat this month, or do we get health insurance? They're literally making that decision. While politicians are here saying, if you elect me, and if you elect me, I'll do this, this, and this. People make decisions that they literally die for over there. The man could not go and get diagnosed. He would have had to pay a certain amount of money. So he took a risk that I have malaria, and he was treating it. And then he grew worse and worse. And by the time he went to the hospital, he died 3 days later, leaving four children and his wife to fend for themselves. $75, one-time gift, will provide all the health care for that family. If they fall down and get hurt, that'll pay for their broken bone. If they need malaria medication or to be treated for tuberculosis, which is common, that'll take care of it. You can make a difference that much. How do you think God would bless you if there's 500 people in heaven because you maybe saved a preacher's life or a leader in a church's life or their family? You saved them from going into utter homelessness because you care. Here's some other things. $100 will pay for clothing, books, and meals for a child to go to school for a year in the Western region. $100. You can provide that child a Christian education for 1 year for $100. For $100. It pays for their uniforms. It pays for what they're eating and any costs they have associated with it. What a blessing you could be for them. $150 will rent a 2-room apartment for an entire year for a or a preacher's family. $150. How much do you spend to get that new stereo in your car? Could have housed a widow and her family for a year. $200 will empower a Christian to start a new business and selling produce or fish or bread or eggs or some item in daily use. And the average seller will make about $100 a month in earnings. If they don't have that and they've got labor for somebody, cuts it in half. $200 put a Ghanaian in business. $1,200 buys a motorcycle for a preacher, enabling him to better minister to the church members. You go back and look at that board, you'll see Daniel travels everywhere on his motorcycle. He literally ministers to three different congregations because some people from this group contributed last spring and helped him get a motorcycle before he'd have to walk on foot for about 10 to 15 miles a day. He was told by a doctor he had an ulcer. That's what happens when you walk and burn all your calories up. $2,000. Whoa, Doug, now you're talking a lot of money. No, I'm not. $2,000 will allow a graduate from the preacher school to finish with an accredited four-year bachelor's degree. And with that, that allows them to teach in the public schools and quadrupling their monthly income because they can teach in a state school. And you know what? In the Western region, that's what they're doing. They've trained three preachers to go on and get their accredited degree, and now they're working in the Western region and making far more, and they're able to plant churches all over in the Western region. Three preachers are working right there in the school for the Lord's church. $5,000. Oh, Doug, that's like more than $2,000. Well, guess what you get for $5,000? It constructs a new, fully furnished, 100-member church building on an acre of land in the rural areas. That includes the chairs. $5,000? You get a lot in Ghana, don't you? $15,000. Whoa, whoa, now you're out of my range, Doug. Church could never do something this big. Yeah, they could. $15,000 will purchase a bus to transport hundreds of rural children to school for the next decade. For the next decade. You know, some of those kids, when it gets comes time for the rainy season. You saw that picture of that pitiful looking bus they have. Do you know, this coming rainy season, we're just entering it, many of those kids, they will have to not go to school because they will have to walk maybe 5 to 8 miles on the mud-soaked roads just to go to school. Some of them will do that. But if we were able to provide a bus for the rural school, you're talking over 400 children would be virtually guaranteed a ride to school and receive that Christian education and spread that gospel over the border into the Ivory Coast and Togo, whatever country that they're touching. You can make that big of a difference. So, let me close with this. If you don't see yourself as part of the mission of Ghana, I've given you three different ways that you can be part of it. Your prayers. Prayers can move mountains. Number two, your abilities. And number three, your money. If you don't feel like you're part of the work in Ghana, plug into one of those areas or all three of those areas. You too are a missionary. Everyone has to see themselves as one when it comes time for the work in Ghana. If you would like to respond to the invitation this morning for any reason, maybe you're looking for a church family and you say, you know, I think this is the one I want, or maybe you're saying to yourself, no, I want to respond to that blessed gospel of Jesus. I believe that he died, was buried, and resurrected, and I want to base my entire future on that only. Not on my ability to do great things, not in my ability to win people to Christ. I want to base my soul on the blood of Jesus Christ and the fact that that tomb was empty on the third day. If that's you, and you have yet to make that final commitment to Jesus Christ, then you need to come forward and be immersed for the forgiveness of your sins. death, burial, and resurrection experience to tie in to that fact of history. And then come out of that water and live a new life for Jesus Christ. And be part of the mission team, not only here, but all over the world. If you want to respond for any reason, if you need the prayers of the congregation, do so while we stand and sing this.